Live from Charlotte, North Carolina, the Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff is on the air. Hank is the president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, we desire to equip the body of Christ to defend the truth of the gospel and give reasons for the historic Christian faith because truth matters. To find out more about the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff, or the Christian Research Institute, go to our website at www.equip.org. To ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. And before we get to our questions, just a couple of words about social media. I wrote about this in my ministry letter that I send to our constituents each month. And I point out that social networks play an increasingly crucial role in the delivery of spiritual information. Gone are the days of static websites and stagnant subject matter. Now it's about peer-to-peer communication and consumer-driven collaborations. Just take a look at the 2008 presidential campaign. One candidate understood the impact of social networking at a grassroots level. He understood texting and podcasts and blogs. The other candidate did not. Ask yourself the question, who won? In like fashion, our understanding of social media provides a revolutionary communication opportunity for the gospel. As such, the Christian Research Institute is committed to leveraging the tools of this brave new social ecosystem, Facebook, YouTube, Blogspot, all for God's glory, all for the extension of His kingdom. I'm convinced if we're not engaged in the online revolution, we're going to forfeit one of the greatest opportunities to fulfill the Great Commission in our generation. Think for just a moment about a young woman who's sitting alone before her computer. She's come to the end of herself. She's ready to commit suicide. Rather than accessing a particular destination site, she Googles two words, painless suicide. The words that appear on her screen might well be the difference of life and death. What if the Christian Research Institute had harnessed the algorithms of the web in such a way that the words painless suicide linked to a podcast of the Bible Answer Man broadcast? What if she changes her mind? At CRI, testimonies like this are not just imagined. They occur on a regular basis. And that's what I'm talking about when I talk about a technological revolution. Technology equals connectivity. And connectivity equals kingdom opportunity. Indeed, it's precisely because of testimonies like this that I ask you to stand with me month by month. As such, whether your donation is $25 a month or $250 a month or $2,500 a month, together we're reaping a harvest for eternity. And you can provide support immediately on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can do that in a secure, safe fashion. Again, on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can do it via the mail at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or you can talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Whatever you do is making a difference for time and for eternity. I'll give you just one more example. Here's a letter from prison. Dear CRI, please let Hank know his work is not and will not go unnoticed. Thank you, CRI, for your diligent work. May God richly bless you and your ministry. I pray for Hank and you at CRI on a daily basis. I am incarcerated, and I apologize. I can't do more financially to help because I know the needs are great. Here in prison, there are all kinds of false teachings, especially with respect to the Trinity and its full intended meaning. Without your apologetics ministry, life in prison would be different for me. You have changed lives and helped millions upon millions. Don't ever stop fighting the fight. Thanks again, Jed. Again, a letter from prison. Just one more person impacted by the ministry outreaches of the Christian Research Institute. And you who support this ministry have had an impact behind prison walls. Again, you can support us on the World Wide Web at equip.org via the mail at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or as always, when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. First up today is James. He's listening on KCVT in Topeka, Kansas. Hi, James.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing blessed. How are you?
I'm good.
My question is about the Illuminati, and as Christians, how do we interpret all the information that's presented on it and still be faithful to our to the Lord?
Well, you got to put on a great big baloney detector. That's the first thing. I mean, I think Christians have to wear baloney detectors this time of the year, this season of life. This generation in which we live, because without a baloney detector, you are impotent not only in the school classroom, but also when you encounter information on the web, because internet lies travel halfway around the world before truth has had the chance to put its boots on. If this was a real organization founded by the Jesuits years ago, it is not a real threat today. It is a supposed ruling council for Satanism, but I would say that it's based on hype, sensationalism, sophistry, sloppy journalism, and therefore we shouldn't put a whole lot of credence into these conspiracy theories that revolve around the Illuminati.
So you're saying that none of it is true?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. So let's not chase things that are phantoms. Let's deal with real problems. And to deal with real problems, you have to be equipped to be able to explain why philosophical naturalism, as a case in point, is not tenable in an age of scientific enlightenment. In other words, deal with the fact that today, in classrooms around the world, we are being taught that everything can be explained through purely natural processes. That there is no such thing as the supernatural creator of the universe. We have to be able to deal with those kinds of issues, or people who are discounting the resurrection of Jesus Christ, or those who are saying that the Bible is not divine in origin, that it's merely human in origin. We have to be dealing with those real issues and equip ourselves to deal effectively with answering people's questions rather than concocting all kinds of titillating conspiracy theories.
Okay. So you believe it's nothing more than a conspiracy, conspiracy theory.
Yeah, and I wrote about this in part under the covering for truth in a book called The Covering.
The Covering?
Yeah. And if you go to the section on truth, I deal firsthand with the Illuminati.
Okay. I certainly appreciate your insight. I just want to thank you also. About 5 years ago, you were one that listening to your broadcast helped lead me to Christ. So I certainly appreciate all that you do for Christians around the world.
Hey, James, thank you so much for the encouragement.
Thank you. God bless.
God bless you. I want to go from one James to another. This one is in St. Louis, Missouri, listening on KSIV. Hi, James.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. Hey, thanks so much for taking my call. I've been having an ongoing discussion with a cousin of mine about Jehovah's Witnesses, their belief about who Jesus is. I've heard you say many times that that's the place to start the discussion.
Yeah.
But it always keeps coming back to the fact that they say that he's not the creator, and that they say he's the Son of God, but he's not the creator. And, of course, I always talk about the fact that they are reading a different translation than what I'm reading, but can you give me any help? And I've got some of your materials, but it just seems like they don't want to consider what I give them.
Well, you can't force feed anybody. And oftentimes, if you are in a discussion, you might think that they're not listening when they really are listening, because over the years, I've seen a lot of people that were involved in the Watchtower organization come out of the Watchtower organization. I didn't think they were listening to me, but they were listening a whole lot more than I thought they were. They're in a very confusing construct, a construct that isn't particularly satisfying, because they're trying to work their way to God's righteousness by peddling copies of the Watchtower magazine. And in essence, they are never sure whether their works are good enough. And one thing they know for certain at this point in history is that they're not going to get to heaven. They're not going to be part of the heavenly class. They're going to be part of the earthly class, because the 144,000 tickets to the heavenly class have all been sold. So the first class is full. So now they can be part of the earthly class. And the very notion that God has some kind of a caste system with a heavenly class and an earthly class is just complete misfabrication of the book of Revelation. But I think you're right. It does start with their confusion regarding the nature of Jesus Christ. Is he the archangel Michael? Was he a mere human being while he lived on earth? After his death, was he recreated an immaterial spirit creature? The answer to all of those questions is no. He is the one who spoke, and the universe leapt into existence. He is before all things, and unfortunately, they have had to insert the word other four times into Colossians chapter 1 to negate the notion that Jesus Christ is before all things. So now, in their view, he was created by God, and now is a junior partner in the creation of all other things, which simply is not true. The Bible is emphatic that Jesus is God. I and the Father are one, said Jesus Christ.
And that's the point they won't acknowledge, is that the Bible's clear that there's only one true God, but yet they'll say Jesus is a God, and I can't get them to respond to what about what the Bible says when there's only one God.
Yeah,
they won't acknowledge that.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Hank. I really appreciate your help, and keep up the great work.
Thank you, James. Appreciate your question. Want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Jason in Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Jason.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I just wanted to get your take on something. My parents attend a rather large church out here in Kansas City, and one of their services, we just went as a guest with them one time. And the pastor had talked about speaking to your dead loved ones. And I've also heard other people saying, you know, oh, I was praying and I felt that person's presence in the room. And my wife and I highly disagree with this. And I just wanted to get your take on that.
Well, you're absolutely right. You should disagree with it. It is absolute nonsense from a biblical worldview that we can communicate with our deceased relatives. They are in the presence of God if they are believers. They are in torment if they are unbelievers, as Jesus Christ described in Luke chapter 16. They don't know what's going on in this time-space continuum, nor is there any warrant whatsoever for the notion of ghosts, such that deceased relatives are coming back in non-material forms to this earth. So poltergeists or noisy ghosts or ghosts in general is the stuff of mythology, not biblical theology.
Sure. Okay. Well, yeah, that pretty much clears it up. We disagreed with that. And we've heard some pretty prominent pastors say something similar, and it's just a little disturbing to us, so I wanted to get your take.
Well, thanks for your call.
Well, I appreciate it. Have a great day.
You too. Want to go back to the phone lines? Talk now to Bob, Los Angeles, California. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Good. Yes, my question has to do with the topic of humility. And I know that in Christianity, humility is one of the highest virtues. And, of course, on the flip side, pride is something that the Bible warns us to avoid.
Mm-hmm.
And so my question would be, what is the Bible recommend in terms of what can we do on a practical level to become humble people and to not consider ourselves better or more important than anybody else?
Yeah, it's critical, because you have to recognize that you are what you are by the grace of God. everything that you have is a gift from God. I was talking to my son about this the other day. I mean, he's an extraordinarily talented golfer. And he's a very charismatic kid. He's been given a lot of gifts. He's done great in school, great in athletics. And we talked about the fact that he is able to do that for one reason, and it is because God gave him the circumstances, God gave him the gifts, and therefore, to God be the glory. There is no pride we can take in our own accomplishments. Of course, Jesus said, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So recognizing that we are what we are by the grace of God, no more, no less, is enough to keep any Christian in a place and spirit of genuine and true humility. We'll be right back on the other side of the break with more of your questions. Give me a call at 888-ASK-HANK.
Christian leaders like Lee Strobel and Kirk Cameron are calling Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine by Hank Hanegraaff a tremendous resource. Not only does this resource contain superb subject matter, but it's presented in a unique and memorable format. Hank has taken the main and plain things of Scripture and made them available to you in an accessible, fully laminated, and easy-to-use flip chart that you can use to communicate boldly and confidently with precision and clarity. To find out more about the wonderful Essential Christian Doctrine Flip Chart resource by Hank Hanegraaff, tune in this Thursday and Friday, September 3rd and 4th, to the Bible Answer Man program and see how you can apply it to your life. You can also find out more at www.equip.org. Don't touch that dial. Hank will be right back.
It is reading and interpreting the passage in light of what the Bible says, not my imagination.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. But how can you benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times? You can with the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has helped to assemble what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Informative and educational articles are written by Hank using acronyms that he regularly uses on the Bible Answer Man, including LIGHTS, showing how to understand the Bible, MAPS, demonstrating how the Bible is divinely inspired and preserved, DOCTRINE, summarizing essential Christian doctrine, and FEAT, an apologetic on Christ's resurrection.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition.
Multitudes of Christians have been given a wildly distorted understanding of the biblical teaching about faith. In the late 20th century, Word of Faith teachers such as Kenneth Hagin and Benny Hinn were at the fore.
The Bible declares clearly that faith is a force.
In the early 21st century, they are overshadowed by a new breed of prosperity preachers with rock star platforms like Joel Osteen and Paula White.
God said to challenge the people to give $66.12 according to Psalm 66:12. When you put your faith with the word, then you have mandated results.
Hank gives hope and truth to the millions trapped in the faith movement in his landmark book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. To get your copy of Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, call 888-7000-CRI or go online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the autographed and limited leather editions.
We are engaged in a war. Not a war with bombs and bullets, not even with power politics. This is a war with an invisible enemy, against the rulers, authorities, and powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And the only way to know victory over this enemy is to know the weaponry you have to fend him off. The Covering by Hank Hanegraaff is based upon Paul's words to the Ephesians commanding us to put on the armor of God. The Covering outlines this armor and its importance in our spiritual battles. He explains what it means to incorporate God's covering and the practical ways God delivers us from evil. Consider it your effective biblical battle plan to wage successful spiritual warfare. Call CRI and order Hank Hanegraaff's fascinating book, The Covering. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also order The Covering online by going to www.equip.org.
If the Bible Answer Man has ministered to you, you have our faithful donors to thank for that. We regularly hear about changed lives and people equipped for good works through what God is doing through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute.
I just appreciate you and your ministry so much for explaining it to those who just kind of sometimes have a hard time figuring it out. So thank you so much for what you do. Thank you to your staff. And we just look forward to being blessed by your ministry. And we look forward to seeing God's glory revealed through what you guys do. And I just pray that God would bless you guys and just help you keep up the good work.
The continued regular, prayerful, and financial support from our Bible Answer Man monthly support team, the CRI Fellowships, and the President's Council is what keeps the Bible Answer Man on the air on this station. If the program has meant something to your life, why not call us and join our team? When you partner with us, you'll also receive special benefits. To join or find out more, our ministry phone number is 888-7000-274. And of course, you're welcome to join the team online on our secure website at equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, once again, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. Before we go to our next caller, let me mention Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine. It's a 4x6 laminated flip chart, and it gives you the essentials, the main and plain things of the historic Christian faith in memorable fashion. These, of course, are the very doctrines for which the martyrs bled and died. They're the line of demarcation between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults. Essential Christian doctrine, and it's memorable in that I've codified the essential Christian doctrines around the word doctrine. So from the deity of Jesus Christ on to the certainty that he will come again and restore all things, put all things to right, essential Christian doctrine becomes memorable for you, not only what you believe, but why you believe what you believe. Why do you believe in the deity of Jesus Christ? Well, this gives you the answer. Jesus claimed he was God. The Bible says he is God. And then the miraculous works of Jesus Christ, his credentials, testify to the deity of Jesus Christ. Again, all in a memorable flip chart. These have been flying out the door over the last several months. For your gift to the ministry of the Christian Research Institute, I will send you a copy available on the World Wide Web at equip.org via the mail at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or when you call our resource consults at 888-7000 and the letter CRI. That translates to 7000-274. So again, 888-7000-274. Let's go back to the phone lines, and we will talk next to Beverly. She's listening in Indianapolis, Indiana. Hi, Beverly.
Hi there. This is quite a privilege to be able to speak with you, Hank. Thank you so much. My question today is, I've been reading The Shack by William Paul Young, mm-hmm. and I wanted your opinion of it.
Well, every time I look at the bestseller list, it's up at number 6 or 7. It's been there for a long, long period of time. I don't know of a book that has sold more in recent years than The Shack. But I wrote a review, Beverly, on The Shack in the Christian Research Journal.
I missed that.
Yeah, it's titled, How Should a Christian Think About the Shack?
That's exactly my question.
And so we can send you a copy of that, or you can look it up on the World Wide Web at equip.org. But basically what I point out is that after chiding those that Young believes to have a misconception about the Trinity, he proceeds to compromise, confuse, or outright contradict biblical orthodoxy with respect to the Trinity. And that's just one of the many problems that I find in The Shack.
That was one of my questions, the characterization of the Trinity.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he pontificates that Jesus has never drawn upon his nature as God to do anything. And if you've read through the Bible at all, you'll immediately recognize that that is a false statement, particularly with respect to the resurrection.
Do you know the spiritual background of the author?
We probably have it here off the top of my my head. I simply don't have that information, but we can probably get it to you.
That would be great. Would you recommend it as a study for a group of women in a church?
No, absolutely not. It, at best, it needs a theological tune-up, as someone has well put it, and at worst, it's downright heretical. And the thing that I don't like about it is in both his speeches when he goes around promoting his book and in the book itself, he's pontificating that we've misunderstood the nature of God, and then he gives us a misunderstanding of the nature of God.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that was my question for you today, but I'll look for that article.
We'll get it out to you, Beverly. Hey, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
You got it.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Back to the phone lines. Dwayne, XM Radio, Brooklyn, New York. Hi, Dwayne.
How you doing, Hank? Thanks for accepting my call.
You're welcome.
I had a question specifically about tongues. I grew up in a gathering called the Brethren. And, you know, a lot of times growing up, we had no experience or knowledge about it, even though in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, Paul goes in to detail about how these things are supposed to be rendered in the middle of a worship service. Could you help me out with this? I attended another gathering now where this is something that's not frequent, but it does occur. And a lot of times I'm uncomfortable. I don't know quite whether or not this is something that I could deem whether it's authentic, or if it's something that's just you know, for a show, you know, in 1 Corinthians 14, you know, Paul says they're assigned tongues are assigned for believers. I mean, tongues that are assigned not for believers but for unbelievers, and prophecy is for believers. And you know, it does indicate that you should have you should prophesy. Once somebody, you know, speaks in tongues so that people can understand, the body of believers can understand. So could you shed some light for me, help me out to understand this?
Sure, and particularly in the particularly in the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, what you have is a very clear indication that if there's an interpretation of the tongue, then that tongue becomes a prophecy. It serves to strengthen the body of Christ, to edify, exhort, encourage the body of Christ. So it's not about foretelling the future, then it's about forthtelling, in the sense of, as I just mentioned, strengthening, edifying, encouraging, and exhorting the body of Christ. But you can usually tell whether a tongue is authentic if it corresponds with the Word of God. And as I've sat in many services in which I've heard people speak in tongues and then heard an interpretation, the interpretation is directly opposite of what God would be telling His people. And the reason I know that is because you can now test, if there's an interpretation, you can test that tongue in light of Scripture. And if it doesn't correspond with Scripture, then you know that what purports to be a message from God is not a message from God at all. What purports to be the words of the Holy Spirit are not the words of the Holy Spirit. And if you're assigning somebody to the Holy Spirit didn't say, that's blasphemy. But beyond that, I think that you have to understand what tongues are. Tongues are, in biblical vernacular, a language. In other words, if you look at Pentecost, the apostles were speaking in languages of the Elamites and people from all over the world that had gathered, all over the kingdom that had gathered in Jerusalem, and they were understanding the gospel in their own tongue, in their own language. And so what you have at Pentecost is the inverse of what you had at Babel, when tongues were confused. And in that case, of course, people were trying to build a monument to themselves. They were involved in humanism and a humanistic enterprise, and God scattered tongues. At Pentecost, He took the scattered and He allowed them to hear the gospel in their own language. And I would say that that is not a normative event. That was something that happened at Pentecost in a unique time and place. And therefore, while it had application within canonical times, within the times that the Bible was put together, it doesn't have relevance for us today. Now, I'm not suggesting that God could not produce the miracle of tongues through someone, but if He did, it wouldn't be a normative experience.
Okay. So in a church service, in a worship service, when somebody purports to have this divine revelation, and you know, by the Holy Spirit utters a tongue, or says something, and then prophesies afterwards, I can assume that that this isn't something that's authentic. If it's in line with Scripture, if it's in line with God's Word, can I still assume that because it's not normative, that this is something that's inauthentic?
Well, I can't say absolutely, because the fact that it is not normative does not mean that God cannot speak through someone using the gift of tongues that was manifest at Pentecost.
Okay.
God certainly can do that, but again, I would say it's not the norm. It would be the exception to the norm. And that is the same thing with miracles. God can heal someone today just as he has healed people in the past. But again, if this was normative, we wouldn't call them miracles.
Okay, so like every church service, somebody, you know, gets up and they have a message, you know, divine revelation from the Holy Spirit. Because you have indicated it's not normative, then I should start questioning, you know, whether or not this is a gathering I should be a part of.
Well, yes and no. It all depends on the extreme to which this goes, because I certainly have been involved in Pentecostal congregations in which there was a healthy perspective. In Pentecostalism, tongues is the evidence of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Now, I disagreed with that. I think it may be a evidence, but to say it is the evidence goes beyond what Scripture says. So I can disagree with that, but I certainly don't question the legitimacy of the people that were involved in the practice. This is an issue that we can debate vigorously. Ultimately, we don't have to divide over it. But I do think the one thing we have to do in every situation, if someone claims to be speaking in tongues, we ought to test what they're saying in light of Scripture and then hold fast to that which is good. Because ultimately we have the final court of arbitration, not in the tongue, but in the text of Scripture.
Amen. Well, thanks a lot, Hank. Have you written about this in any of your publications or your books?
Yeah, I've written about this in various places. So I believe there's an entry on this in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition.
All right. Thank you very much, Hank. I appreciate your time.
Hey, you got it. Thank you so much for your call. And just enough time before we go to break, and we'll be back on the other side of the break with more of your questions. A lot of you hanging on if you want to get in the next segment or in the hour that follows that. I'll be answering your questions for an hour once we go off the air. Just give me a call right now, 888-ASK-HANK. But we have the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. And in this book, what I do is I take the answers to questions that I've been asked on air over two decades, and I answer those questions in a very succinct fashion, first, furthermore, finally, in a way that's memorable so that you can remember the answer to those questions as well. The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, I deal with questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the Christian faith. I answer those questions so you can use the answers as springboards or opportunities for sharing the grace and love and truth that only Jesus Christ brings to the human heart. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Right now, for your gift of $100 or more, I'll personalize the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. I sat in my office and did that for about an hour this morning. So, love to do it. A way of me being able to say thank you to you for supporting this ministry. All of the resources go to this ministry, 100%. You can order at equip.org on the World Wide Web, or when you call me at 888-7000-CRI. We'll be right back with more of your questions.
Did you know that you can hear the Bible Answer Man daily, or the best of the Bible Answer Man every weekend on XM Satellite Radio Channel 170, or take in the broadcast online through our website at www.equip.org 24 hours a day? Further, you can also listen to past shows which are archived for your easy access. Hank returns with more of the broadcast right after this.
The Mormon Church has a very wholesome appearance, so much so that many evangelicals ask, are Mormons Christians? Is the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints just another denomination of Christianity? Hank Hanegraaff answers these questions in his new booklet, The Mormon Mirage, Seeing Through the Illusion of Mainstream Mormonism. Mormon prophets invite persons seeking truth to scrutinize their claims. Joseph Fielding Smith said that Mormon founder Joseph Smith was either a prophet of God, divinely called, properly appointed and commissioned, or he was one of the biggest frauds the world has ever seen. There is no middle ground. Find out the truth of Mormon teachings about God, Jesus, and eternal life compared to historic Christianity when you get your copy of The Mormon Mirage by Hank Hanegraaff right now for a gift to the ministry of the Christian Research Institute when you call toll-free at 888-7000-CRI or order online at www.equip.org.
We have assembled for the first time ever some of the great luminaries of the evidence for Christ in the world. These people have been assembled for one purpose, and that is to present the case for Christ to you. And in the end, it's your responsibility, your opportunity to come to your own conclusion in the case for Christ.
Based on Lee Strobel's best-selling book, The Case for Christ is now on DVD. One skeptical journalist.
I thought the idea of an all-powerful creator of the universe was just an absurd idea.
Investigates the most important story in history. Lee Strobel and biblical scholars explore the evidence for the life of Jesus.
Now, it would require more faith for me to maintain my atheism than to become a follower of Jesus Christ. Investigate the evidence for yourself.
The Case for Christ. Look for it on DVD.
To order, call 888-7000-CRI. That's toll-free at 888-7000-CRI. Find out more online at equip.org.
Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal.
Don't miss our cover story on famed capitalist and atheistic philosopher Ayn Rand. Our practical apologetics feature article, Equipping the Next Generation, highlights five key factors parents can teach children in counteracting worldly philosophy and overdependence on church programs. Our effective evangelism department equips you to respond to the difficult problem of evil objection. Hank answers an attack on the reliability of the Bible by distinguished University of North Carolina professor Dr. Bart Ehrman as he answers the question, Christ's cleansing of the temple. Can Mark and John be reconciled? In his Ask Hank column.
Call CRI and start your subscription today. 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
The Bible Answer Man is here to provide the answers that people are looking for because truth matters. Many listeners and Christian leaders have told us of the importance of these answers.
Hello, this is Jack Graham of Prestonwood Church, and I want to take just a moment to say a word about my very, very good friend, Hank Hanegraaff, and the Bible Answer Man program. In a day in which truth is so often on the scaffold, it is so vitally important that Christians think clearly and biblically, and this is why Hank Hanegraaff gives us the straight stuff when it comes to the Word of God, the testimony of Christ, and the support of this ministry and the program, The Bible Answer Man, is so very important because it keeps this program not only on the air, but it keeps truth before our hearts and in our minds. So to all the listeners of The Bible Answer Man, you receive so much from this program, and your life is no doubt changed by the power of truth. So I want to encourage you to support this ministry in every way possible. Certainly with your prayers, certainly by listening every time you can, and then your financial support.
If you believe in what we're doing here at CRI, we're asking you to partner with us through regular prayer and a special gift. Your support is foundational to keeping us on the air and ministering in your area. To help in CRI's Because Truth Matters mission, call 888-7000-274. You can also join online at equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, once again, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. Back to our phone callers. Next up, Timothy is listening on KQCV in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Hi, Timothy.
Hey, how you doing, Hank? I was calling. You got to forgive me. My phone may go out because my battery's low. If I could take this question off the air. I was just calling because I was doing some research on the life of Solomon, and I was kind of reading through the Bible. Really doesn't say too much about his life, how it ended. I was just wondering, you know, when he did die from the bad choices that he made, was he still in right relationship with the Lord, or was he separated from him?
Yeah, interesting question. Solomon is really a paradox because in his early years, he was noble, he was humble, he was a great ruler of God's people. He was granted tremendous wisdom by God. I mean, if you take some time, as I have over the years, to memorize the Proverbs, you're absolutely intoxicated by the wisdom that God gave King Solomon. So he was involved in penning inspired scripture, but later in his life, he succumbed to temptation. Now, he had 700 wives, 300 concubines, that's a full-time job, and the Bible tells us that his many wives led him astray, led his heart from the Lord, and so he ends up building idols and places of worship for foreign gods. He ends up acquiescing to Molech, who was a terrible god by any standard, certainly a false god, a mere idol. And so he unfortunately turned away from the God who had given him his wisdom and built monuments to other gods. Now, whether he was doing that to appease his wives, whether he was doing that to build alliances with other civilizations or countries, is something that we don't know. We have some good information. In fact, it's ironic that you're asking this question because I was just reading First Kings chapter 11 about Solomon's wives, and says very clearly that Solomon followed Ashtoreth, the goddess, Molech, the detestable god of the Ammonites. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord. He built a high place for Chemosh, the detestable god of Moab, and for, again, many other false gods. He did the same for all of his foreign wives. So he's basically acquiescing to his wives. The wives were oftentimes married so he could make alliances with the Ammonites and the Hittites and the people from other cultures. And so it was a way of stabilizing the kingdom. It was a geopolitical strategy. And as a result, again, his heart was turned away from the Lord. But whether he died in disbelief or unbelief, we simply don't know. The best I can say is a paradox. In the end, his eternal salvation is the province of the Holy Spirit, and the Bible doesn't give me enough information to know what he did in the end. Whether what he was doing was something that he was doing in sin and out of convenience, or whether he truly disbelieved in God and ultimately the revelation that God had given him about Jesus Christ, who would fulfill the types and shadows that he only saw darkly through types and shadows. I can't answer that question. I don't think anybody else can definitively.
Yeah, like I said, I had studied and went through and really, like I said, really didn't give too much information. And I just didn't know if you had like any more in-depth resources.
No, I don't think there is anything more in-depth than what I just gave you. I mean, it comes right from 1 Kings chapter 11.
Yeah.
Doesn't tell us why ultimately he did what he did other than to appease his wives. Did he really believe in Molech? Did he believe that Molech was real? I doubt it. But did his wives and his geopolitical considerations turn his eyes away from the Lord? The text absolutely, definitively says that. So was he in sin? Absolutely. Was his salvation hanging in the balance? I don't know.
Well, I thank you so much for your time, Hank, and I'll be praying for your ministry and I continue to listen, so I just thank you so much.
Hey, thanks, Timothy. Appreciate your prayers. They mean the world to me.
You have a blessed day.
Thank you. You as well. I want to go to Donna now in Jefferson City, listening on KMCV. Hi, Donna.
Hi, Hank. Thank you so much for taking my call, and God bless your ministry. It's wonderful.
Thank you.
My question is, I have several friends of the Mormon religion, and, of course, in their teachings, they believe that Jesus did walk here, you know, in our country. Is there scripture that backs that or discredits that belief?
Yeah, absolutely. Jesus ascended into heaven, and he has not appeared again, nor will he appear again bodily to walk around in the Americas. He didn't do that in the past. He's not going to do that in the future. He's going to appear a second time. He didn't appear a third, fourth, fifth, and sixth time.
Right.
So you have appearances of Jesus, the angel of Yahweh, in the Old Testament. So you have a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ that you can point to over and over again as you read through the Old Testament, but you certainly cannot find that after the ascension of Jesus Christ, in which he transcends time and space.
Okay. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You've got it. And I've written about this, of course, in the Complete Bible Answer book, a collector's edition. There's an entry on Mormonism in which I say that archaeology is a powerful testimony to the accuracy of the Bible, but that same thing cannot be said for the Book of Mormon because there's no archaeological evidence for a language such as Reformed Egyptian hieroglyphics, from which supposedly the Book of Mormon was translated. There's no archaeological support for lands like the land of Moron, which you find in Ether 7-6, and nor is there any archaeological evidence to buttress the notion that the Jaredites, the Nephites, and the Lamanites migrated from Israel to the Americans, On the contrary, both archaeology and anthropology demonstrate conclusively that the people and places chronicled in the Book of Mormon are little more than the product of a fertile imagination. And Joseph Smith certainly did have a fertile imagination. I also point out that the greatest crack in the credibility of the Book of Mormon is that whole sections were derived directly from the King James Version of the Bible, and that despite the fact that according to Mormon archaeology and chronology, the Book of Mormon predates the King James Version by more than 1,000 years. And that's why I think that Mormons are relegated to accepting the Book of Mormon, not because of archaeological evidence, but because of what they call a burning in the bosom. They have an experience, but the facts simply don't corroborate the experience. Now, as Christians, we can have an experience, but we always test our experience in light of the facts, because we don't have a blind faith. We have faith founded on a refutable fact. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Carolyn. She's a Canadian listener listening in Vancouver, British Columbia. She's listening on KARI. We're going to Carolyn now. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi, Hank. Oh, this is so awesome that I can talk to you. Anyway, because I listen to your show every day.
Oh, thank you.
Vancouver, and it's awesome. And I've been meeting with Jehovah's Witnesses. At first I didn't know they were, because they were just talking about the Bible and stuff. And then recently the last time we got together, they told me that everyone that was born, like maybe since Adam and Eve, up until Christ died for us, they didn't have a soul. And I was like, what? And I said, well, I don't think that's right. And then they said, yes. And then they were showing me different scriptures. I don't remember which ones they were, but then I referred to them. I said, well, but it says in Genesis 2:7 that, God breathed into Adam, and then he became a living soul. And then they had another, they said, well, soul and spirit is different. And then they said, but Adam wasn't meant to die. He was meant to live forever. But because he sinned, then he died, so he went back to the earth.
And therein lies the problem. In the Watchtower philosophy, what they believe is that there's not a soul that can exist independent of the body. In biblical theology, the soul does continue to exist independently of the body. So when we die, the soul continues to exist if we're believers in the presence of God. So we have a completely different notion of what happens when we die. When one dies, absent from the body, says Paul, present with the Lord. The body goes to the grave, the soul goes to be with the Lord. When Jesus Christ returns a second time, which is yet future, the soul returns to the body. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that body is resurrected immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. We're changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. So there's continuity between the body that is and the body that will be. But we are then again human beings in an authentic sense, in that to be fully human means that we have both a physical and a non-physical component to our humanity, a soul and a body. And at resurrection, the soul returns to the body.
Wow, that's awesome. Have you done some research about them that I could read?
Yeah, we have a lot of information. A couple of things, Carolyn, that you can get. Sorry, I'm cutting you off just a little bit because you hear the music. We're almost out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. But you can get the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. I deal with the Jehovah's Witnesses and their views in the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. You can also go to the World Wide Web at equip.org and find all kinds of incredible resources that we have written over the years in the Christian Research Journal and books that we recommend in terms of witnessing to the witnesses. So all of those resources available on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Unfortunately, out of time for today's edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Looking forward to seeing you next time right here with more of the show. Keep praying for us and please support us if you can. God bless you. So long for now.
Hank Hanegraaff is coming to California in September. Hank will be speaking in Southern California at Newberry Park on Wednesday, September 16th at the Living Oaks Church Midweek Series on Worldview Issues from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. There will also be a question and answer session. Again, that's Wednesday, September 16th. Then on Friday and Saturday, September 18th and 19th, Hank will be speaking in the San Francisco area at the 2009 California Christian Apologetics Engaging the Culture for Christ Conference at Harbor Light Church in Fremont. For more information on how to attend or register for either California event, go to www.equip.org. And don't forget to invite your friends. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters.
Is there scientific evidence for intelligent design? Are scientists being silenced for advocating it? Those questions and more are explored in the provocative new documentary movie, Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed, starring actor and writer Ben Stein.
91% of Americans believe that we were created by God, yet that belief has been completely shut out of any scientific discussion of the origins of life in schools. But new science is showing astounding evidence of a designer, and that science needs to be seen and heard.
Expelled exposes the modern-day witch hunt in which scientists and teachers are persecuted for questioning the theory of evolution. Stein confronts the world's leading atheists and Darwinists and uncovers their hidden agenda to suppress the new science that points to evidence of a creator. Expelled.
Order Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed, featuring Ben Stein on DVD from CRI by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.